Brent Beard of First Coast News and the co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, a pleasure to have you on as always. How are things going today?
Well, we are drawing near to the draft, and we're also, more importantly for college football fans, are drawing closer to the May 1 deadline. People have got to be really where they want to go. That's the May 1 is the day the transfer portal shuts down for this academic year. It actually closes for 3 months before reopening on August the 1st. So that's a break for a lot of people in roster management. Now, players in the portal by May 1 can still transfer after that date, but the deadline provides at least some roster certainty in the midst of what's been a lot of confusion. So we basically got about a week left before that happens. So that will give us a lot more clarity than what we've got now.
It could be a chaotic week, because if you look at just the updates on the transfer portal, Brent, there's new guys in every single day, and trying to find new teams. And I mean, we've talked about it before. You hear others talk about how the portal can have some benefits, but also it can be also very dangerous as well for these players who don't really understand the effects that it can have. If you transfer out and think that you're going to go somewhere else and they've already got their roster set, by the time you try to come back, the team who you left is like, hey man, sorry, we've already filled your spot, and then you're stuck.
There was 120 Division I players that entered the portal in a three-day period last week. So 30% of the 2022 signing classes were transfers. So, it affects the numbers in a big way. There's no doubt about that. In Division I, they've had 2,500 players in the portal since August. So, I don't know. It's just an amazing how it's helped some schools. I mean, LSU and Ole Miss have probably benefited the most, or at least they've got the most transfers. But it's good and bad. I mean, what you can do now is, I mean, you literally can restock your roster before you had no recourses, but that's how things have changed.
Yeah, they have. And obviously we have, the NIL stuff to go along with all the transfer portal stuff and how crazy some of it can be. I find this very interesting. So David Hale, he covers mainly the ACC for ESPN, but he does college football in general. And he had a thread of tweets that he sent out how name, image, and likeness is being portrayed in the media as pay for play, but it's really not. And how what we've got is currently a pay for play, a black market pay for play. And name, image, and likeness is not that. It's something different, but it's being portrayed as pay for play. Is there any sort of discrepancy that we're ever going to figure out? Obviously, you know, you need a governing body. And if you could ballpark when the NCAA or when Congress or whoever in the world is in charge of this ought to try to rein things in, is it a 2-year window where if things don't get figured out, then it may be too far gone to even fix?
It's going to take, 2 or 3 years. A lot of people think the market is just going to correct itself at some point. I don't know that, but that's the guess. So what does that mean? Does it mean businesses are able to figure out what they want to do? And in some players' cases, you just can't continue to support a player who sat on the bench with all kinds of money. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing some of these collectives the way we are. But yeah, it is. We don't have enough information yet, Drew, to really know where this thing is going, and it's just going to take us a while for that to happen.
And we keep on learning more about it day by day, but I think it's going to take a little bit, maybe another season fully of college sports to really figure out all of it as far as what we need to do to change it and everything. LSU had their spring game over the weekend. Brian Kelly doesn't seem to be close at all to naming a starter. All three played relatively well. He was impressed with Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier and Miles Brennan. The interesting thing about this whole deal is, in a way, it's a blessing in disguise, because you think, okay, he can't figure out a starting quarterback, that must not be good. But you have three quarterbacks who are having good springs. So if there's anything good to come out of that, it's that you know that you're probably going to get a player that you're comfortable with, at least. He did say that he doesn't want to have a two-quarterback system. He wants to commit to one guy. Is there one that you think may have a little bit of an edge over another?
Nah. I mean, Miles Brennan probably has your most experience. But beyond that, we're not going to know this until they get into camp in August, and that they start having scrimmages. They'll know at that point. I mean, it's an unusual situation. You've got Brennan and Nussmeier and Daniels from Arizona State and Howard, too. So he's redshirt. But no one's anywhere near it now. But and as we mentioned a minute ago, they've been the heaviest in the portal with 15 players, so which is a lot. But we'll see what he can do. But no, I don't think they're anywhere near choosing a quarterback yet, frankly.
Looking at all the new head coaches, I find, you know, Brian Kelly, his situation to be really interesting. He has said that LSU poses a easier path to a national title than Notre Dame has. You look at, his time at LSU so far, it's been interesting. There have been moments where they're almost cringeworthy with him dancing with the prospects and everything. But if you look at what he's done at places he's been at, I feel like if you're an LSU fan, you've got to be encouraged with him now having the exposure to talent that an LSU can bring in. If you look at other head coaches around the country, does Brian Kelly have one of the better jobs that he is inheriting compared to some others like a Billy Napier or a Lincoln Riley, even, where you have to kind of rebuild up that program at USC, or Brent Venables, where you have to redo an identity essentially for Oklahoma with all the players and staff that was lost?
LSU, I don't care how many players they lose, they've got one of the better rosters in the nation, and that continues even now. Now, he obviously didn't have the players he needed, wanted, and he went out and got more. But there's no doubt. Any time that you go to LSU, you're going to have talent. And that's still what he is inheriting, and that's still what's exciting for him. Frankly, it's going to take him a while to get it done. He's a really good coach. And, I mean, when you break Newt Rockne's record in Notre Dame, I mean, you absolutely know something's going on, and you can and how capable you are. So he will get it done. What he needs to do, Drew, is just quit this foolishness. I mean, he doesn't need to be right dancing with recruits and trying to fit in,
faking an accent, yeah.
That's just, frankly, absurdity. But he'll start things together. When he does, he'll be a dangerous football coach, and there's no question.
And there's obviously in one of the toughest divisions in all of college football. Is there a? I think personally, out of a lot of the newer head coaches, he may be under the most pressure to have his team play well immediately. But to realistically think LSU getting back to the college football playoff, I mean, obviously you're going up against an Alabama, a Texas A&M. Is there a realistic expectation that the LSU Tigers will be in a national championship or even in a playoff again here in the next 3, 4, 5 years with Alabama still there and Jimbo Fisher doing what he's doing?
Oh, yeah. There will always be pressure when you go to LSU. And I think, I'm not going to say that they're going to be realistic about the pressure, because SEC schools are never realistic about much. But, I mean, they know that he's going to have some time and going to need some time to restock that roster. So all in all, he really won't get into any kind of real expectations. And I think until probably year three. Year okay. one, you do the best you can do. In year two, you're going to be a little bit better. But you still know you're not where you need to be. And that, frankly, is kind of where Jimbo is now. I mean, Jimbo, they knew it was going to take Jimbo 2 or 3 years. But unlike the Brian Kelly, Jimbo now is in that realm to where he's going to start winning, and it's going to be more than 8-4.
Again, if you're just joining, speaking with Brent Beard of First Coast News College Sports Notebook, co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, Preview Magazine. So Athlon, I think, is delayed by a week, their release. It was May 31st. Now it's June 7th. You look at Lindy's, they're doing the national one is set to start being mailed out. I think I saw May 31st, and then they got a SEC exclusive and then a Big Ten exclusive that come out later in June. And then Phil Steele, of course, comes out in June. We're getting closer and closer to them, and obviously, you know, they're jam-packed full of information for all college football fans to enjoy.
Well, I'm a big connoisseur of the magazines. I follow them for years. I get 3 or 4 every year. Unfortunately, that's about all we've got now is 3 or 4. But I think that's the thing that is the most interesting is, when are they actually coming out? I mean, the Phil Steele that comes out later, that's really not going to affect Phil Steele very much because of his timetable and all that goes with it. But but Lindy's and Athlon, I'm going to be very interested in about how late that is, because they are the first ones that always come out. And because, look, and here's why. They normally would have a deadline probably of, I would say, this week. But now, with the situation that you've got with the transfer portal and that May 1 deadline, there's no way in the world you can do that if you want to have any integrity about the magazine. So,
right.
So what you've got now is that it's got to be a week or so later, at least before it comes out. So, I'm following that very closely, want to know more and more about it. So, but I get them all, and to me, there's still room, and there's still a need to have something that is in print and in your hands.
Final thought from you, and yeah, I'm right with you as far as the magazines are concerned. I love them. I don't get the digital version. I have to have the physical copy. I make all kinds of notes and everything in it as well. I tear those things up. But the NFL draft obviously coming up here on Thursday, as you mentioned, right when we started. Jacksonville with the number one overall pick. There's talk now that Trayvon Walker from Georgia is going to be, or at least is favored right now to be, the number one overall pick ahead of Aiden Hutchinson. Is there a certain player that you think would be better for Jacksonville, or do you think they should go offensive line to help protect Trevor Lawrence rather than Aiden Hutchinson or Trayvon Walker?
Well, I would pick Evan Neal of Alabama in a heartbeat over, especially over Hutchinson. Will Anderson had a better year by far than Hutchinson and should have been the Heisman Trophy weekend. Walker is interesting, but that's the two things the Jaguars have got to get is they've got to get a pass rusher and they've got to get somebody to protect quarterback. So, look, they made so many boneheaded drafts, Drew, that you, and until you actually see it, you never quite know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and as a fan, you cannot be encouraged by that history at all whatsoever. You almost have to be nervous about this first round pick. I mean, who knows if they're going to, for all we know, they might pick somebody who is not even worthy of that selection at all, or if they pick somebody and they bust, then it's just another storyline for how poorly they draft. Is Doug Peterson, do you think, the right guy for Trevor Lawrence, though, compared to the other candidates who could have been head coaches?
I don't know. Frankly, I know the, you know, being in the Super Bowl with the Eagles and all that. I mean, the players have, I think, rallied around him. I mean, there's a better culture. I mean, good grief, anything would have been better what Urban did. I think the question here is Peterson just another retread coach that they get? I mean, look, in the NFL, your reality is, you're either going to get a retread who's been to four different teams, or you're going to get the hot young coordinator, shall we say. So, Drew, listen, the reality here is no one really knows, and I hope they've learned their lesson not to get too overhyped about anything until they wait and see what happens.
Is Brent Beard of First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping Podcast. Brent, a pleasure as always. You have a good rest of the week, and it'll be a good conversation we have on Monday. Can't wait.
Take care.